This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. You can join us on the radio here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, Daryl will be telling us that the British government is telling you to stop resetting your passwords. We'll see what their reasoning is for that, because that sounds like really bad security policy. We'll get into that here.
Think of the children.
And, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. Our toll-free number allows you to join us to bring up anything you want at 855-450-FREE. Plus, we're joined by Melanie tonight, who will be telling us when we get the chance about a Supreme Court ruling that could be a really bad one for people who use the anonymity service known as Tor. So that's on the way here tonight as well. And, of course, your calls. We've got Sarah on the line in Albuquerque listening to Kiva. Sarah, you've called in tonight to say that you have become a communist, that you've been doing some researching. You've looked into communism. You like what you see. You like the idea of people having an equal amount of things from each according to his ability to each according to his need. These are some of the things that warm your heart. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, but pretty much the same platform as Bernie Sanders. He's running
as
on
Karl Marx.
A socialist. He's a socialist
right.
Communist.
So the idea being to take by violence from people who have more than you and others and redistribute that stuff, money or things or whatever, to other people. Isn't that the concept?
But I don't support the violence part of it. That's not really necessary.
Then how are you going to get the stuff to redistribute it?
But the thing is, you know,
did you hear that question?
What'd you say?
How are you going to, if you're not going to use violence, how are you going to get the stuff to redistribute it in the first place?
Well, the whole thing is, for some reason, we have communist forms here in America, Social Security, unemployment, retirement benefits.
And they're failing.
Those are all communist forms of social safety network. We have them here. And
yeah, and they're done by the threat of violence. Right.
I don't know how it came about, but we do have those things, and it's necessary for our community.
I don't believe they're necessary, but that's still, you're not answering the question of, you say that you don't believe in using violence to enforce these things, but how do you have any of them without violence when that's what they're based on now?
Well, you know, I think we are going to come to the violence when we lose our retirement and our Social Security is gone and we're starving and freezing, and then people will resort to violence because that's the outcome.
No. It's not
the people running the programs are resorting to violence to fund their programs.
So you're dodging the question, and I understand why you want to dodge it, Sarah, because you don't want to feel like you're on the side of using violence against your neighbors. I mean, who wants to feel that way besides some sort of psychopath, sociopathic nutcase? So you don't want to see the violence that's inherent in the system that you are advocating for. But the fact is, it's there. And just because you are being willfully ignorant to it doesn't mean that it's not there. Let's put it to you real crystal clear. Someone down the street has more than you do. They have more than everyone else in the neighborhood. How do you propose under your socialist system to expropriate those things from that person and give them to other people without using violence or the threat of violence?
Well, I guess, you know, I guess that's kind of unavoidable, you know, and then it has come down to...
Just to be clear, when you say that's kind of unavoidable, you mean using violence against my neighbor is unavoidable in the socialist system.
Right, I mean, because, you know,
So you've embraced, so I just want to make it clear, you are embracing the use of aggressive force, the use of violence to get your way against your neighbors.
Well, if, you know, the Walton family is worth $50 billion, worth that much Okay, and the workers have Sam to go and get on Medicaid and food stamps or Section 8 because they can't make
those
it
are socialist programs. Is it a problem that okay. Walmart employees are on socialist programs if you like socialism?
Well, I mean, look at this. They have to get help because they don't get paid enough to survive.
Because Walmart knows that they can have the state pay for Walmart's expenses instead of having Walmart pay for Walmart's expenses.
Conan.
That's socialism.
Our Thursday night co-host Conan used to work at Walmart, and he definitely disagrees. He said that he got paid well. He did not need to take any of these programs, and he actually did not take any of the programs.
Well, Conan's also, more responsibly fiscally than other people, which, again, brings us to another point. Once you reorganize all this money, let's say you can take all of Sam Walton's money. You put a gun to, I think he's dead, but his sons and daughters, the people running Walmart. You put a gun to their, point a gun at them and you threaten them and say, hand it all over and we're going to redistribute it. Bernie Sanders is going to decide where this money should go. We're going to give it out to everybody in the United States or wherever. And we'll distribute it evenly, and then at that point, everyone will finally have X. Everyone will have X, whatever that amount happens to be, of the same amount of money. Then what happens? Because in 1 week, I can guarantee you that no one's going to have the same amount of money anymore. So people that have, let's say, drug addictions, they like to smoke and drink or whatever, they're going to go ahead and spend their money that they've this windfall that they just got in on their addictions, on their vices. And other people are going to save the money. So by the end of the week, you're going to have a differentiation between how much money people have. Then what happens?
Well, the thing is, if socialism doesn't work, how come I'm on disability? I'm on Section 8 housing. I have Medicaid. I'm on all socialist programs, okay?
It's nice to be able to live off of people who've been threatened, and you are taking the results of those violent acts.
Well, I'm living. There's millions of people that are on my program, okay? Because it's working, because it's necessary. Whether it took
violence is necessary.
It took violence.
So what you're saying is you don't believe that humans are actually like good people who will help others when asked to help. You think you have to use violence against them.
Well, I mean, most of the time they will, but they're not going to share as much as they're going to.
As you think they should. You think they need to share more, and you're willing to use violence in order to force them to. And that's ultimately what somebody in your position does, and I'm glad you've at least admitted it. Thank you for being honest enough to embrace the violence that you're advocating. Now, of course, you're probably not going to, be ballsy enough to actually pick up the gun and do the violence yourself, so you'll likely want to hire men with guns in order to do the violence for you. They tend to call themselves police, for instance. But yeah, you're right. There are socialist programs here, right here in the good old United States of America. And it's violence. It's violence against your neighbor. And if that's okay with you, then you're not somebody who I want as a neighbor. Thanks, Sarah, for the call. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Because I think that people are, by and large, good folks. I think that they are willing to help others. And it doesn't matter to me whether one person provides more help than another person does, whether one person feels like, I can only give this amount this month because I have these bills to pay or, my kid's in the hospital or whatever. Everybody's got their individual circumstances. But ultimately, if we didn't have the government stealing billions of dollars from people in the United States and redistributing it in the way they wanted to, then we'd all have more money to give away. We'd all have more money to give to charity. We'd all have more money to give to our friends who might be in need or total strangers who might be in need. And there's no shortage of opportunities to see the generosity of American people and people all around the globe. When somebody, like here in New Hampshire, every now and then somebody's house will burn down. And that's a horrible tragedy that shouldn't befall anybody. But ultimately, it usually results in you losing all of your dearest possessions and starting from basically zero in a lot of cases. Because a lot of people, live paycheck to paycheck. They probably don't have a bank account of any significant amount to fall back on in a situation like that. Most people don't have any kind of insurance to cover that kind of loss. So there's constantly people who are put in these positions, and people in the community step forward and they pony up money, that is above and beyond the money they pay in taxes, above and beyond what's being stolen from them by the state, to help their neighbors. In many cases, to help a complete stranger, somebody that they've never met before. And it's not just the people down the street from you. You know, go back to like the, what was it, the Thailand tsunami, I think it was, years ago?
Thailand probably got hit by one. I know the Philippines and Indonesia.
There wasn't a huge outpouring of money from people in the United States for that. And you don't know those people. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-719-9349. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-719-9349. That's 1-800-719-9349. 1-800-719-9349.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Mm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Bad news, Americans. You're probably stockpiling for a disaster all wrong. When the big one comes, you'll need more than that poisonous, oversalted survival food you now see everywhere. There are three vital things that your survival food is missing, and it's the first thing to disappear from grocery stores. Go to superfoodradio.com now to see my story of how I nearly died when I was forced to live on a popular survival food. That's superfoodradio.com, and I'll show you how everything you've been told about survival food is dead wrong. Go to superfoodradio.com now.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Radio, toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, with you in the studio, you've got Ian here.
Melanie.
And Daryl.
And we've got Skype. Skype username's LRN.FM. If you're tired of governments murdering people around the world, stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you're helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it. Use it. Spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. As we go into some news about Bitcoin, I mentioned this last night, but we never had a chance to talk about it. It's a story posted at deep.web.com, one of the best news sites on the internet, by the way. Deep.web has been great at covering the underground marketplaces, for instance, like covering the Silk Road and other news about things that are happening in the underground in the so-called dark net. So it's certainly one of the more unique news sites on the internet. In this case, they're just talking about Bitcoin, which isn't by any means part of the dark net, but it's still interesting nonetheless. The Russian Finance Ministry is preparing to introduce legislation next month that would fine and jail digital currency users, according to Bloomberg. The legislation, which was amended last month, has multiple tiers of penalties depending on the person's usage. According to Interfax, for regular citizens who casually use Bitcoin, the penalty would be about 500,000 rubles, which breaks down to around 7,800 U.S. dollars, or 4 years in prison. For organized groups like Bitcoin miners who confirm transactions on the network, it could cost you 1 million rubles, or 15,500 U.S. dollars, or 6 years in prison. Executives or managers of financial institutions could face a fine of up to 2.5 million rubles, or $38,000, or up to 7 years in jail. Now, Russia won't be the first country to go after Bitcoin users. Iceland, Ecuador, and Vietnam have each banned the currency in some way. Digital currencies like Bitcoin boast properties that spook central banks and regulators. Cryptocurrencies allow for anonymous transactions, which could be used for the trading of illicit goods and services. Quote, Bitcoin can be used to finance the shadow economy and crimes, and this risk we cannot allow in Russia's financial system, which we're striving to make transparent and healthy. This according to the Russian Central Bank Press Division in a statement made to Bloomberg. Quote, they said further, the use of money surrogates, including cryptocurrency, carries a high level of risk and creates the condition of the involvement of citizens and companies in illegal activity, including the laundering of financial proceeds from criminal and terrorist operations. So all they really need to do is throw around the word terrorism and drug dealing and, you know, make it sound like that's all Bitcoin's all about, in order to justify the banning of the use of Bitcoin in the minds of the average person who might be reading some sort of news release or a news story about this. When, of course, the reality is Bitcoin is used by thousands upon thousands of companies around the globe who are not terrorists and drug dealers. I mean, Wikipedia? Not terrorists and drug dealers.
Overstock.com.
Not terrorists.
Cheap Air.
No, and Dell Computer, and the list goes on and on. Dish Network, exactly. And even local companies here in our very own Keene, New Hampshire, you can go down Main Street and buy a burger, a local burger, with Bitcoin. You can go into Corner News and buy, you know, a pack of cigarettes or a newspaper or, you know, Gatorade or something with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's being used in the legitimate marketplace. At what percentage of Bitcoin is used for underground drug transactions? I don't know. And I don't know if there's a way to really calculate that. But how much cash is being used for underground drug transactions?
That's why we need a cashless society.
Ban that too. So
who's trying to ban that?
Lots of governments.
I know that I've heard about this. This has been one of those, like...
Well, it's already illegal to have more than $10,000 in cash here.
No. Not illegal. You've got to fill out requirements and
for a transaction.
If you try to take it with you on an airplane.
They don't want you to take more than $10,000 out of the country, but you can have more than $10,000 in cash. There are cash transaction reports that are filed when you withdraw or deposit more than $10,000 or more.
If a police officer pulls you over for a broken taillight and he finds more than $10,000 worth of cash, he'll probably
take it
and
yeah.
say, drug money.
Because there's a statute that allows him to do that if you have more than $10,000 in cash.
Yeah, they could take that less than 10,000 too, I suspect.
Well, yeah, because we've read stories about that, where there's the, like, 18-year-old kid that had his life savings, which was just a couple $1,000s. He was on a bus from Chicago to L.A., and he gets stopped in one of these things where they just randomly go through and they ask everybody papers, blah, blah, blah. What do you have with you? And he was like, I've got some money. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, drugs. You're coming with us, and this is ours now.
And then, of course, you have to prove in court that the money wasn't involved with drugs in order to try to get it back. And, of course, you'll usually end up spending more in attorney's fees trying to prove that kind of thing if you're only dealing with several $1,000s. So it's usually not even worth bothering to try to do that. So technically, it's not illegal to have more than $10,000. It's just really, really hard to...
It's always a bad idea to have large amounts of cash if you know you're going to be interacting with the police. But there are statutes that count that as drug paraphernalia de facto. So, I mean, it's not like no U.S. laws, especially federal laws, are inconsistent. I mean,
no doubt. One thing you can count on the government for is inconsistency. So the renewed push to criminalize cryptocurrency usage outright still runs in contrast to the position of the central bank, which has thus far advocated a wait-and-see approach to any legislation. Russian attitudes toward the legal status of cryptocurrency have in general been mixed, creating a patchwork of uncertainty with industry players unable to speculate on what the future might hold. Russian President Vladimir Putin conversely stipulated that Bitcoin could be used in some account, leading to rumors of an ultimate softening in the official position. So again, it's not a done deal. Just to make it clear here, they're introducing legislation. The Russian Finance Ministry, which is being called the MinFin here, the MinFin is looking to do this, but that doesn't mean that it'll succeed. So hopefully it won't, and Bitcoin will continue to be legal in Russia. Putin said, quote, as an accounting unit, these coins, or whatever they're called, they can be used and their adoption becomes wider and wider as some kind of unit in some account. Probably it's possible, he said. Meanwhile, payment processor Kiwi announced it was developing a blockchain tech-based Bitcoin alternative known as BitRuble, which says it will likely launch in 2016 for use in payment service attached to its mobile wallet. So interesting developments going on there in Russia, which, of course, in no way, shape, or form is a freedom-friendly place, especially if you're gay.
Right.
So there's that story. Other international news, Daryl, you've got from Great Britain. The government there is saying, hey, cut it out with all the password changes.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, the UK government, actually the GCHQ, which is the government
like the
communication
NSA
headquarters, on World Passport Day, which I didn't even know was a thing, repeated their advice against the common security practice of routinely changing passwords. A post by the Communications Electronics Security Group of the GCHQ said in 2015, we explicitly advised against the practice. There's more.
I want to know
why. About it.
855-450-FREE is the toll-free number. 855-450-3733. And Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Join us on the radio waves here. Toll free number 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. The British government, part of the British government, saying, stop resetting your passwords. They don't like it. And Daryl's going to tell us why here in moments. Also, we had a caller earlier tonight advocating for socialism. Of course, we had a lengthy discussion with her about that. But it was not a three-hour-long discussion, which is what Roger Ver is challenging Bernie Sanders to. Bernie Sanders, of course, has come to represent the new socialist movement in America, and it gives us an incredible opportunity to address his supporters in a rational, courteous, and dignified way. Fortunately for us right now, we've got Roger Ver on the side of freedom, and he's laid out this challenge. Adam Kokesh has agreed to meet Bernie Sanders in any city in America on any day between now and the end of this year for a friendly debate on socialism versus voluntarism, in which Bernie can choose the objective moderator. To sweeten the deal, Roger Ver, a.k.a. Bitcoin Jesus, has offered that upon completion of the three-hour debate, in which both men have equal time, that he will donate a total of $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to the charity of each man's choice. That's $50,000 apiece. So learn more about this challenge at bernie.freetalklive.com. That's bernie.freetalklive.com. We'll talk more, Daryl, about your story about the GCHQ, the British equivalent of the NSA,
yes,
over in Britain, and password changing. But first, Jim is on the line in Nevada. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jim.
Yes. I was wanting to know about the young lady that called in about liking communism. A question to her would be, how would she feel if a person came to her house and beat the hell out of her to get her things because she had more than he had? Would she still like communism at that point?
Well, I don't think most people would say they would like that. And as you heard in Sarah's call, she, in the very beginning of the discussion, tried to shy away from the idea of using violence to enforce her political beliefs. But ultimately, even someone who believed in the use of violence still probably wouldn't want it to come to the actual beating. They would want to use the threat of violence to get people to comply.
Right, but she still probably would not like it if somebody came to her house and threatened violence to get her stuff because she has more than somebody else.
Well, I mean, even when you're getting to the point where an agent is showing up to your house, I mean, successful governments kind of have it worked out where they don't have to get to that point. The threat is kind of over there somewhere. And
well, because everyone knows that ultimately armed agents will come to their house.
Right.
And so when they send the threatening letters to you first, there's you know, their steps 1 through 10 involve sending paperwork. And then eventually men with guns will show up at some point. But Jim, you know, you're right. I think it's important to bring home what could actually happen to someone. And we didn't really get into that level of detail with Sarah. So thanks for suggesting it. Was there more you wanted to throw out there about your thoughts about socialism?
No, I think if you're going to make a statement like she made, she ought to do a little bit of research on the situation that she's talking about.
Well, she obviously hasn't done any research. I mean, she believed that Venezuela was a capitalist country, and it's very socialist. It hasn't changed much in that way since Chavez died several years ago. Thanks, Jim, for your call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That allows you to join us here. Bring up your thoughts on whatever's on your mind. So, Daryl, quick recap. GCHQ, the NSA for Great Britain,
yes,
has come out and has said what now?
I'll just read the statement from the CESG, which is the Communications Electronic Security Group, which is a subsidiary division of the GCHQ.
All right.
They posted this again on World Password Day,
which is
the first Thursday of May.
Okay.
Regular password expiry is a common requirement in many security policies. However, in CESG's password guidance published in 2015, we explicitly advise against it. This article explains why we made this for many, unexpected recommendation, and why we think it's the right way forward.
All right, I want to hear this, because this seems like really bad advice.
Let's consider how we might limit the harm that comes from an attacker who knows a user's password. The obvious answer is to make the compromised password useless by forcing the legitimate user to replace it with a new one that the attacker does not know. This advice seems straightforward enough. The problem is that it doesn't take into account the inconvenience to the user, the usability cost of forcing users to frequently change their passwords. The majority of password policies force us to use passwords that we find hard to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Our passwords have to be as long as possible and as random as possible, and while we manage this for a handful of passwords, we can't do it for the dozens of passwords we now use in our online lives.
True statement. It's hard.
To make matters worse, most password policies insist that we have to keep changing them, and when forced to change one, the chances are that the new password will be similar to the old one.
That's true as well, yep.
Attackers can exploit this weakness. The new password may have been used elsewhere, and attackers can exploit this too. The new password is also more likely to be written down somewhere, which represents another vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
New passwords are also more likely to be forgotten, and this carries the productivity cost of users being locked out of their accounts and service desk having to reset passwords.
I would say that everything they said there mostly is pretty much dead on accurate. People don't want to have to change a password. it's inconvenient and it's frustrating when, you know, your bank account's like, oh, you've had the same password now for 6 months. You need to make a new password. And then somebody changes one letter or capitalizes a letter.
Or they change the number at the end. Right. It was one, now it's two.
Yeah. So
it was two, now it's three.
I agree with their analysis that those systems don't actually create a better security. I agree with that. But it's like they haven't heard of password managers. I mean, this is the British equivalent of the NSA. Have they not heard of LastPass, for instance? Or
probably not.
Some of the other competitors out there. I've heard there's a better one now, but I don't remember what it's called. And if you've got a great one that you want to recommend, please, you know, dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. But these password managers, for those that don't know, because not everybody knows about these things, it's a program or a plugin that you can download for your browser of choice, Chrome, Firefox, IE.
Some of these are better than others because some will encrypt the password, some save them in plain text.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure. Well, right. When you say some of these, you mean like the browsers might leave them in plain text.
Some of the browser plugins.
So some of the password managers aren't even encrypting? That's pretty sad. You want to make sure you do some research and find out which of these are the better ones. I've heard a lot of good things about LastPass. Anyway, what happens is the best ones encrypt your passwords. They encrypt what is called the master password.
Right.
So basically the idea behind LastPass, and the reason it's called that, is this is the last password you need to remember. You have a good, solid, complicated master password, and then all of your other passwords can just be a random jumble of characters and numbers that you don't have to remember because LastPass will remember them for you. It'll automatically manage, you know, your passwords. If you change a password, it'll usually detect that. It'll say, oh, we just noticed you changed the password for your bank account. Would you like to update your new password? And then you save your new password in LastPass. So every site you go to, you can, you know, you have your passwords right there. Now, of course, you have to use some security around LastPass because if you've got your master password entered, then anybody who gets on your computer can access every password that you have.
Right.
So there are some security measures you should take into effect. Like you can have a timeout, like after 2 minutes or whatever it times
use
out.
Use two-factor authentication.
Oh, they offer that too? That's cool.
I don't know if LastPass does, but I'm saying for the specific website. Yeah. So you go to a website, and LastPass says, here's the password.
Right.
And then you've still got to get the text message and put in the code that comes to your text message.
Exactly. So you can absolutely have your passwords change and not have to worry about remembering if it's a jumble of letters and numbers, because no one can remember that crap. So I can understand their critiques, but it's almost like they don't even know that these things
They've got
exist.
More to say.
All right, we'll get into it here. 855-450-FREE. Join us here on Free Talk Live.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-941-9483. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-941-9483. That's 1-800-941-9483.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that products powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. And apparently it passed by International Change Your Password Day, or whatever it was called.
World Password Day.
World Password Day, where
Betty White's the spokesman. How cool is that?
That's great. She's in her 90s, right?
Yes.
So apparently not everyone believes that you should change your passwords. There's a position paper that came out from the GCHQ, the British equivalent of the NSA, 16-page long report.
Yes.
You're reading
two columns.
You're reading some excerpts from the paperwork. Where they're saying
I'm actually reading their summary of
their
the
16
thing.
Pages.
And I pulled up the 16 pages, and they do mention password managers in here.
I'm curious to know what they have to say about that, because the things they were saying in their summary made it sound like they didn't know that those things existed. They acted like, oh, people can't remember all these complicated passwords. And it's true. You can't remember more than a couple really complicated passwords.
Here's what they say. Software password managers can help users by generating, storing, and even inputting passwords when required.
Yep.
However, like any piece of security software, they are not impregnable and are often an attractive target for attackers.
Well, yes, of course. And this my understanding that LastPass actually encrypts your master password locally or encrypts it in their files or whatever. Like, LastPass doesn't even know your master password. That's my understanding of how it works. But obviously, I got to take their word for it because I, you know, I'm not going to spend the time and I don't have the programming know-how to audit their system. But I suspect that someone has audited their system because they are relatively renowned as one of the better password managers out there. And again, they're not a sponsor of the show. You know, we don't get any kind of kickbacks from you using them. If you've got a better suggestion, would love to hear about it. The toll-free number is 855-453. Was there more, though, that you wanted to share from the story?
There was. They say it's one of those counterintuitive security scenarios. The more often users are forced to change their passwords, the greater the overall vulnerability to attack. What appears to be a perfectly sensible, long-established piece of advice doesn't, it turns out, stand up to a rigorous whole system analysis. The CESG now recommends organizations not force regular password expiry. We believe this reduces the vulnerabilities associated with regularly expiring passwords, described above, while doing little to increase the risk of long-term password exploitation. Attackers can often work out the new password if they have the old one, and users forced to change another password will often choose a weaker one that they won't forget. At CESG, we want administrators to think about alternative, more effective system defenses that might implement, or rather they might implement, in order to detect and prevent unauthorized account access. For instance, we recommend using system monitoring tools that present users with information about the last login attempt so they can see if they're responsible for a failed login.
I think those are useful. You know, when they say, oh, we last saw you from this IP address on this date and time.
Yes.
Or from this device. Google does that on their email, or you can actually set their look at their
Facebook
security.
Facebook will do that sometimes. And I've had issues where I use a VPN, and it'll look like I'm logging in from somewhere else, and then I'll get an email. You just tried to log in from Pakistan.
And we're concerned this isn't you. That's good stuff. I like that kind of security protection. So I got to say, I agree with the GCHQ in this particular article. I think they're completely dead on accurate in their analysis.
That they make a lot of good points.
Yeah,
and when I first saw this, my thinking after I saw, you know, UK government wants you to stop changing your password was, oh, that way it's easier for them to get into your account after they figure out what your password is.
Well, it could be part of the motivation here, but ultimately it does seem to be a recommendation for industry more so than it does for individuals.
Right.
Like banks or whoever it is. Banks and credit card companies are two of the organizations you're more likely to see forced password changes on every so many months or whatever.
And looking at their document here, they have some tips, and one of them is understanding the limitations of user-generated passwords. And they talk about the difference between technical control and complex passwords, the use of password strength meters, which while it might encourage somebody to, you know, like type in something that makes the strength meter turn green instead of yellow, they don't necessarily explain what makes something a strong or a weak password.
Some do, some don't, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. Let's go to Jack, listening in Ithaca, New York. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melanie, and Daryl.
This is Zach from Ithaca.
Oh, hi there, Zach. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, I talked to you, we don't really need to hammer it all out again, about working at Cornell Dining. I'm currently on paid suspension, but I just saw on my Twitter feed this thing popped up from the Cornell police, essentially that they have threats, which were made via two different third-party non-Cornell websites. They're being very coy. They're saying they're non-specific threats. And I talked to my friend at the paper, and they said that they're not even telling them exactly what the supposed threat is. My paranoid fear is that they might actually be trying to double down and twist my words around and pin this on me. I hope I'm completely just off base, but I thought
I'd get
out ahead
of it. I mean, what have you said online that you think they might consider a threat?
Well, I had my interview with you, and then I posted the talking to I had from Cornell HR on YouTube that's got like 100 hits. And then I also called back in again. I did make mention about how I could do quite a bit of damage with my keyboard. But that was not a threat in a physical sense, more in the sense of I'm very good at expressing myself. You can watch the whole thing on there. It's called Talking To from Cornell HR.
To a sane person, that's not a credible threat. You're talking about state agents, though. And I'm not trying to be obnoxious, but that's very much the case.
It's true. They can interpret things how they want.
Yeah, they
maybe they think they'll come into the
everything.
Student union with a keyboard and actually attack people with it.
I just thought, you know, why not just out of an abundance of caution give you an update? Also, there was a op-ed posted on Cornell's website called The Price The Price of an Anti-Competitive Burrito, where one of the students basically laid out about how there's essentially for-profit stuff going on campus, and God knows where the money's going. So,
Hold on. What's an anti-competitive burrito?
If you go, it's Cornell Daily Sun Guest Room, The Price of an Anti-Competitive Burrito by David Tauber. And he details just, you know, the kind of essentially for-profit business that's going on in the dining system on campus. Yet there's no accountability for where any of this money is going. And they don't allow private businesses, like he uses Chipotle for an example. They don't allow them to come in and provide, you know, food service. Yet they're charging the same prices as those organizations, but there's no accountability for where the money ends up.
And this is the you had expressed to us previously that the dining commons at Cornell is actually run by Cornell. It's not being run by a third party, whether it's Sodexo, which some colleges, the college here in Keene uses Sodexo. It's actually run by the college. So you're saying that because it's college run, there should be some transparency?
Oh, absolutely. And what's very interesting is both of these articles that have been written, if you scroll down to the bottom and read the comments that have been left by students and staff and just individuals, they are scathing. And they really give you a true insight into the kind of the way things work. This facade of it being a benevolent organization is really just that. It's a facade.
Zach, thanks for the call and the update tonight. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom. He's in Baltimore. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melanie, and Daryl.
Okay. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Tom, go ahead.
You were talking about money, and that's what I wanted to get back to. By the way, Ian, you never cease to amaze me. You've got a really good grasp of a lot of different ideas, not just on the surface, but in theory. In fact, you were right, what you advised the lady lawyer about relative to the amount of money in circulation. It absolutely is crucial. And that's what the Fed does. That's really what they're all about, and that's how they maintain control. Really what they're doing is simply balancing out assets and liabilities, and that's their job, and that's their means of enslaving not only a country and its people, but the banks themselves. You know, the individual banks all have to report to their respective Fed office, mm-hmm. and it's that Fed office that maintains the grip on those banks relative to their reserves. And, you know, just like anything else in basic economics, it's a matter of what's scarce and what is plentiful. And therefore, the Fed will always want to keep...
Hold that thought, Tom. Stand by. We're going to come back and talk to you more about it. About money, banking. I didn't know that the ACH transfer system within banking all goes through the Federal Reserve. I didn't know that until just a few weeks ago. So whenever you send money from one bank account to another, it's got to go through the Fed first before it can even get to the other account.
Yes.
855-450, 3 hour 3 is coming up on Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used, and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
Could you use up to $35,000? Whether it's for home improvement, car repairs, paying off taxes, debt consolidation, emergency funds, or any other reason, LoanUS.com can match you with a lender that can offer up to $35,000. Quick, convenient, and completely online. LoanUS.com works with lenders in all 50 states. You can get up to $35,000 as soon as the next day. Visit LoanUS.com now.
LoanUS.com connection with lenders is not a lender or a broker and does not make lending or credit decisions. Loans may not be available for residents of some states. APR, loan term, loan amount, and other loan details may vary. See LoanUS.com for details.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105. 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today. 866-257-3105.